Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway. Lee Kelly is in studio with me tonight. Lee, long time no see. We did the Jeffersonville Boyd Central Hoosier Hills Conference semifinal baseball game last night, which, by the way, was a really good game to be at, a really good game to have here for listeners of the Big X. And I'm excited about Friday, which is when we'll hook up again for some high school baseball coverage. Jeffersonville moves on to the championship game with a victory last night, and they get the opportunity to host that game as they will take on Bedford North Lawrence, who defeated New Albany last night. You know, I sometimes wonder and hope maybe that our local fans who get so into IU and basketball and high school basketball and the big moments, I hope that they follow baseball and don't mind when we talk a little high school baseball in the springtime. But I really do feel this time of year, a lot like I said yesterday with Ken Bykoff talking about IU baseball, who we've mentioned some of their successes. It's interesting to follow first-year coach Jeff Mercer and the success he's having. But just in the last week or so, you really begin to hone in on it because the Big Ten tournament's around the corner. Indiana's in second place in the Big Ten Conference. They played earlier this week at Kentucky. They play next week against Louisville in Bloomington. So like IU baseball, where I feel like a lot more people start paying attention this time of year, I feel the same about high school baseball, that when the conference tournaments get here and the sectional pairings are out and you've got a number of really good teams in Clark and Floyd counties, that maybe it should get a little more attention than what it does. But fun to be with you last night, and it'll be fun, I know, Friday as well. We'll see if Jeff can win. As Coach Ellis told us last night, it would be their fourth straight Hoosier Hills Conference championship. That's very
impressive.
They've had a great run.
And last night's game, you know, when you're broadcasting, you hope you have a good game back and forth to do because it makes it more fun for the broadcasters and the fans. And last night's was exactly that. It was a good performance, some key hits at critical times, and a last-minute home run in the, I guess, bottom of the fifth inning that gave them a lead, or top of the sixth inning that gave them a lead. And Floyd Central put a runner on in the seventh, made it interesting, and it was just a very good game to broadcast, a lot of fun.
Little surprise, New Albany, who's been playing terrific, did not come out of the other side of the bracket. I thought we might see an all-local final for the conference championship on Friday, but Bedford put some runs on the board. What'd they finish with, 15 runs? Was it like 15-8,
I think,
was the final score. So, nonetheless, a lot of fun, and we'll be doing the sectional up at Bedford North Lawrence. And as I said, Lee and I will be at the conference championship game on Friday at Jeff. It's a 6 o'clock first pitch, and we'll be on just before that. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, Lee and I have some Hoosier headlines, news of the day for IU and Southern Indiana sports. And segment two today, as always, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall joins the program to talk IU basketball. We'll talk Romeo Langford, who got an invite to the combine workout, the pre-draft workout in Chicago, which I'm just going to happen to be in Chicago over that same weekend. I don't know if they'll let us in to see, but it's on ESPN2. You can watch a lot of it. And we don't know, this is something I'll bring up with Alex, and I'm not sure that he knows. I don't know that anybody knows outside of Romeo and maybe his agent and family. Will he participate with that combine invite that he has? But nonetheless, we'll talk more about that with Alex when he joins us. And I'm really excited after we get done with Alex. Last Thursday, we had Dane Fife, former IU player, Michigan State assistant coach. I know that you guys, I get more feedback from listeners when we have former IU players. It doesn't even matter if it's a huge name
or a smaller name, older player, younger player. It's just neat to hear from them. I enjoy doing the interviews, and I can tell from the feedback and the podcast listens that fans appreciate hearing from these guys. We have a former IU player, and we've had him on before, so we'll get into some of his memories and times of the past. But the real reason to have him on that spurred the text message last night was he was named the head coach at Madison. Sherron Wilkerson, former Jeffersonville standout, former Indiana Mr. Basketball, been a coach now in a number of different roles, travel ball, AAU ball, assistant coach at Jeffersonville, head coach at Madison Shaw Memorial last season, taking a big step up to Madison, a program that really needs some tender care and some loving from a really good coach that's willing to put in a lot of energy and a lot of effort, and Sherron Wilkerson very likely may be that guy. So Sherron's going to join us a little bit later in the program today. We'll talk about him getting the Madison job, and then we'll get into some old memories and all the fun stuff to talk about as well when he's with us. So I look forward to having Sherron with us later in the hour. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham. Again, that's in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We've got three Mr. Basketballs, I should say, on that combine list. Three Mr. Basketballs of Indiana. And only, I think, 60 invites went out. So, obviously, Romeo Langford, 2018 Mr. Basketball, he receives an invite for the Combine in Chicago. Chris Wilkes, 2017 Mr. Basketball, who left UCLA early this past, at the start of the offseason, he gets an invite to the Combine. And right before him, in 2016, Kyle Guy of Lawrence Central, who's fresh off a national championship with Virginia, he gets an invite to the Combine as well. So a very, very strong showing for Indiana guys at the Combine and for Mr. Basketball specifically. Puts a lot of pressure on Trace Jackson Davis to get to get there in the very near future. But also the other IU guys that declared for the draft that we have been saying all along, it's more of an educational process, learning process. Obviously, they did not get invited to the Combine. Also, kind of a sad note, but not unexpected if you follow this closely, Juwan Morgan did not get an invite to the NBA Combine, nor did he get an invite to the G League. I think it's Combine, some sort of workout that they have for that's focused on teams and personnel from that league as well. But Romeo does. The question, as I said at the top of the show, becomes, is the hand healthy enough that he participates in the on-the-court stuff? And from what I can make of the Combine in Chicago, and it's at a building called Quest Multisport, and I was actually there the same week last year for a junior NBA, like a youth basketball conference that takes place, coincides with the NBA draft combine in Chicago, because the G League workout is in the middle of the week. The NBA combine is like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or maybe Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but it's a week-long deal when you put it all together. And then the junior NBA stuff is in Quest over the weekend. It's basically, you know, we think we're spoiled, but like if you have a kid that plays AAU basketball or plays sports, we're spoiled in Indianapolis and in Louisville with sports facilities where you walk in and there's, you know, four courts and they may be curtains that drop down to split the courts up, or the building might be designed where each court has its own area. This is like the old school sports facility. It's just a big box, and there's been courts laid down within this big box type facility, you know, open air type facility, or I shouldn't say open air, but big facility, obviously with a roof over it. And if you look it up, it's where Michael Jordan worked out at. His trainer, I forget Tim, what Michael Jordan's personal trainer was, but the whole time he was with the Bulls, and I think even, you know, after when he was out for a while, that was his personal workout facility where he went through hours and hours of training and instruction and practice and that sort of thing. So pretty neat to be in there. But that's the building where the combine takes place. And my understanding is, I know what the setup's like. There's a couple courts where one court there's some actual just games that go on. One court there's measurements and skill type stuff that goes on. But there are classrooms or rooms that have been made into classrooms as well, for I don't know if it's groups or small groups and even individual meetings that are part of this combine. It's an opportunity for the players to actually meet one-on-one with their agent and NBA personnel, I believe, like team at a time. So I'm assuming these are individual-type meetings that go on. So you could see, and you will see for players that participate, we don't know about Romeo, but you'll see after the combine, because of their performance there and their measurements there and all the agility and speed things they do there as well for each player, you'll see some individual workouts or small group workouts happen after that, because in those small meetings or in those meetings with NBA personnel, they'll, you know, hey, we'd like to see you come work out. We like this. Here's what we're looking for. And then from that point forward, they might schedule a workout in their home facility or in their home practice facility. So it's a big deal to get invited. It's a really good sign if you get invited. Obviously, there are 60 spots, and there are far less than 60 picks in the first round and in the actual lottery part of the draft. But it's going to be a big week for Romeo Langford, even if he doesn't participate. And I think there will be some others on that list that for injuries or whatever reason may not participate. Even if he's one of those guys that doesn't get out on the court, I believe he could still choose what he wants to go through, whether he maybe wants to go through the measurements, wants to go through the agility stuff, wants to go through the meetings with teams that want to meet with him, wants to get in the games or not. I believe it's at this point, you do what you want to do. You don't have to do anything, but you've been invited, and obviously that's a big deal. So.
And I would think the trainer or the agent would have a big bearing on recommending to him where he goes, what he participates in, and so on, if I understand reading past reports about this. So
yeah.
His agent, I don't even know the agent's name, but I would think he would have some bearing on recommending what he does and doesn't do.
Yeah, absolutely. So should be interesting. I think we'll hear some stuff, or if we don't hear anything next week, I think maybe that following week we'll be able to glean a little bit of information on what exactly is going on. Also, once you get through the combine, you'll see even more mock drafts and big boards. And again, I don't pay attention to 90% of those boards out there. There are a few that you learn to trust and that the people have been around doing it for a long time. They'll be able to update it, because not only are they going to be there watching the players perform, probably even more importantly than that, they'll be able to talk to the NBA personnel and get a real read for where they think people will go and what the specific needs are for teams and how this thing could look, especially like the first 10 or 15 picks. They never get it right, but boy, right there at the top of the draft, a lot of times it's pretty close unless something shifts or changes or a big trade or movement at the last minute. So next week I think will be interesting to watch and follow, and then the following week after the combine maybe we'll hear more and get an updated read, because right now with Romeo, he's all over some of the mock drafts, going a number of different places depending on where you look. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
The only thing we know for sure is he went to the Barnstable party last Friday night. Yeah, saw pictures of that.
They said Master P was his dad, or at least the Lexington Herald leader did.
Yes,
so
they did.
Obviously, we know better than that. So, but anyhow, that's the latest on Romeo Langford. Wanted to pass that along today. I mentioned that Sharon Wilkerson is with us. He was named the head coach at Madison last night, approved by board vote 5-0, which is a good sign to be named the coach there. But some other coaching news last night. Sean Smith, we previously mentioned, left Providence after just 1 year. And then last night it was announced that he's been approved as the new head coach at Charlestown, which is very interesting because he was at Charlestown for a number of seasons earlier in his career. He left to take a job at West Washington, where his father was the athletic director, and he had a lot of success when he went to West Washington. He had some success earlier in his career at Charlestown as well, but going back to Chad Gilbert's Charlestown Pirate program to take over as the head coach. And so I know Sean probably didn't intend for Providence to be a one-year stop. I don't know all the inner workings there, and I think the Charlestown job was pretty attractive to him, returning to that community from what I can gather. But I know one thing personally, I'm just glad we did not lose Sean from coaching or from the area, because he's one of the really good coaches and really good people as well in the area. I'm glad that he's going to stay with us locally and be a part of a program that we cover, and we'll be able to talk to him from time to time. But a little bit of a surprising move, and it puts Providence behind the eight ball a bit, like they were last summer, because It is approaching mid-May. Next week will be mid-May. Summer ball for the high school teams begins the last day or two of May into June, and then there's an approval process where the new coach has to go through with the school and the archdiocese, I think, locally, which takes some time, a background check. So even if they work really quick and identify some candidates and make a hire, it's going to take some time for them to be able to get their hands involved with what's going on with the program and the team. So let's see who may be interested in that job, and perhaps Providence can still land someone at this point that's very formidable to take that program. I think it's a good job. I think some people would say, what do you mean it's a good job? They've not been very good. There's been movement in the coaches. I still think it's a really good job, but I think it's going to take somebody that will stay at that job for a number of years and give every bit as much of focus to the younger players, the middle school, the feeder program, the deanery ball that's in place there as they do the high school program. That's going to be the key long-term for getting Providence back to being a contender, as they have been a handful of times, even in recent times, a contender for sectionals year in and year out, and maybe regionals and even beyond. So going to be interesting to follow that coaching search here in the offseason.
As far as Sean Smith, what a beautiful facility to play in at Charlestown. Chad Gilbert, one of the real good athletic directors in our area, former basketball coach. I think that's a great working environment. I understand why he wanted to go back there. I love that gym to watch a game and broadcast a game from. As far as Providence, three coaches in 3 years, man, that hurts you. I mean, there's been different styles of teaching, and Andrew Grant set the bar pretty high for recent basketball there, did an outstanding – I do have the name right, don't I?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Did a great job, was a very nice person, got along well with people. So he set the bar pretty high. Same way with Lou LaFay when Lou was there, brought winning seasons and so on. So whoever takes that job, the expectations are high there, and we'll see how it all works out.
All right, Lee Kelly with me. This is a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Those were the headlines, the Hoosier headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. Lee, you got one more thing?
I do have one more thing. We talked briefly last night about Drew Ellis getting his first home run.
Yes.
Last night I went home, and I always go to the Dodgers website and see what's going on. And they have a segment there about top prospects, big days. And I mentioned a number two pick, I think. Anyway, when I went to the site, it gives each team in the league one of their minor league players that had a great day. Well, Drew Ellis not only hit his first home run, he went 3-for-5, had a double and a home run, two RBIs, and he is the Arizona Diamondbacks minor league player of the day for this site. Had 15 homers last year. He's hitting .256, and maybe that doesn't sound too good, but this is his first year in Double A, and I think he's hitting very well. He's actually hitting .333 in his last eight games this month. So putting it all together, Drew Ellis, former Jeff Red Devil, and so a tip of the cap to him. The next spot on that list, the Dodgers, and that's the one I always go to look at, Will Smith, former U of L player. He was 3-for-4 for Oklahoma City, which is the Dodgers' AAA team, and he hasn't been hitting very well but seems to be coming around. That catching position for the Dodgers, in my opinion, is going to be open before this season is over. Austin Barnes is not hitting well. He's their regular. They picked up Russell Martin, who was with them before. Russell, prone to injuries, not hitting very well. So I think Will Smith, the former U of L, has a real shot at being in the majors before the year's over.
You know, I say this a lot, talking about local baseball, high school baseball, U of L, IU baseball. Man, a lot of players from this area, whether it's high school, college, both, just maybe college coming into the area to play. We've got a number of players that have went on to do really big things, and some of them still in the minor leagues, but have opportunities, it sure looks like, to work their way on up. So going to be interesting to follow. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. We'll talk IU basketball, recruiting, Romeo Langford, and a lot more coming up next. And don't forget, Sharon Wilkerson, former IU player, with us later in the hour today as well. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Thursday program means the opportunity to chat with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, InsideTheHall.com, at Inside the Hall on Twitter. Romeo Langford gets an invite to the NBA Draft Combine in Chicago. Lee and I talk some, Alex, in the first segment, as far as what happens at the Combine, what the events are like in general. The big question is now, does Romeo Langford, who was spotted at the Barnstable Brown Party over the weekend before the Kentucky Derby, I believe, with something still wrapped on his hand, does he participate in that on the court? Does he attend and go through interviews, or is he in the building at all next week in Chicago when this big pre-draft event takes place?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he's on the invite list leads me to believe that he's going to be there, because the list that they release is usually the guys that are going to show up. If you notice, there was a guy from Gonzaga who's definitely going to be a top 15, 20 pick that wasn't on the list. And he was, so that means he was invited and just declined to come. So, you know, Romeo should definitely be there. Now, what he does, I guess, is a totally different conversation. Even if he were 100% healthy, he wouldn't be one of the guys going out and playing 5-on-5. He would maybe do some of the testing and, you know, obviously measurements and things like that. But when you're projected to be usually in the top half of the first round, you typically don't play in the 5-on-5. And you're also pretty measured about what workouts you do for individual teams in terms of who you'll work out against and different things like that. So I would definitely expect Romeo to be there. I wouldn't anticipate him doing much, if anything, on the court. I'm sure he'll talk to teams and do interviews and have some maybe some measurements done, things like that. But as far as actual basketball activities, I would not expect much out of it at that particular event.
Juwan Morgan apparently had a workout with the Memphis Grizzlies recently. Is that right? Have you heard that?
Yeah. He.
I assume that's a good thing when teams invite you to come in and work out for them.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the guys who are like fringe draft picks, you know, I wouldn't expect Morgan to get picked, but he obviously has a chance to get in, you know, a training camp or a summer league team. But a lot of times what teams will do is bring in 7 or 8 guys for a workout and just kind of have them go up against each other, just more or less to get an eye on guys before the draft, to see maybe who they want to sign for, you know, a two-way contract or a summer league type of thing. So Juwan Morgan, I would expect, you know, over the next couple weeks to continue to hear things about different teams that he's getting workouts for. I know in the past, you know, the Pacers have even brought in some of the local guys to work out. It's kind of, I don't know if it's necessarily a favor, but you know, just to be able to kind of have some pre-draft publicity. I know I've gone up there a couple of times for some media interviews with guys who had played at IU, having a chance to work out for the Pacers. So not really that uncommon to hear about something like that. But, you know, with Morgan, the thing I was a little bit surprised, you know, not only did he not get invited to the draft combine, there was a G League type combine that I saw Ethan Happ was one of the guys invited to that, and Juwan Morgan wasn't even on that list. So that kind of tells you where he's at right now in terms of the eyes in the NBA, at least, you know, being a guy that's on the radar for potentially being drafted. You know, the teams are the ones who nominate the guys to go to the combine and the G League combine. So that's direct feedback from the teams on who they want to see. And for Morgan to not make it into either one, I think is a little bit discouraging. I would think at the minimum he would be a guy that would deserve to go to something like the G League combine and get a look. But if he's going to make the NBA, it's going to be a long road ahead for him, and it's definitely going to be something that he's going to have to earn. So I'm interested just to kind of see how the whole process plays out. But, yeah, I would expect to continue to hear over the next couple of weeks, you know, Juwan Morgan's name pop up with some workouts, because it's a no risk thing for him. I mean, he's got nothing to lose. Maybe he goes out and, you know, works out for 10 or 15 teams and opens some eyes and gets a chance to latch on somewhere with a summer league team or, you know, a G League roster for next season.
Alex, two interesting things I thought of the list of 66 players invited to the NBA Combine in Chicago. Number one, three Mr. Basketballs, and Lee and I mentioned this earlier, but Romeo Langford, Chris Wilkes, and Kyle Guy all received invites to the event and are expected to attend. Also, the number of Big Ten players, I'm not sure how that stacks up with, say, the ACC or other high major conferences, but Romeo Langford, Carson Edwards, Charles Matthews, Jordan Poole, and others, I think seven total, receiving invites from the Big Ten Conference. I thought that was obviously an unbelievable representation from the state of Indiana and the Mr. Basketball Award winners, but even really good from the Big Ten.
Yeah, I mean, it's I guess, a little bit deceiving because, you know, obviously Romeo is going to be a first-round pick, but I look at the rest of the list of those guys, and I don't necessarily see anybody with the exception of Carson Edwards that has a chance to be a first-round pick. So a lot of the other guys that were invited, you mentioned the three Michigan guys, they all seem like fringe guys to be drafted. Isaiah Roby's another one from Nebraska, I think, that they got invited. It's definitely a strong representation in terms of numbers, but, you know, overall, one thing that I've kind of noticed over the last, you know, it's been a pretty prolonged period of time, and it's going to be the case again with this recruiting class coming into the league, just the lack of high-level talent that's being recruited to the Big Ten schools. This year, I think the only McDonald's All-American that signed with a Big Ten school was Trace Jackson Davis. He's going to Indiana. I think last year it was the same thing. There was maybe two, and a Romeo, and then Jalen Smith from Maryland. You look at some of the other conferences around the country, the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, even the Big East, they're getting more of the high-level recruits coming out of high school. So I think, you know, the long-term, you know, the Big Ten, I think it'll be – we've gone 19 years now without winning a national championship, and I think you can point directly to the fact that, you know, the guys who are coming into the league aren't as highly ranked, and the talent level, you know, while the league in terms of teams may have been as strong as ever, you know, the high-end talent outside of Romeo this past season left a lot to be desired.
Alex, is there any reason for that you're aware of or an opinion that you have of why the top talent, why the Zion Williamsons and so on aren't choosing to go to the Big Ten?
Well, I mean, just look at the programs that are historically, you know, the last 15, 20 years, the best programs in the country. I mean, Kansas, North Carolina, Duke, you know, those are Kentucky. They're getting the most McDonald's All-Americans, and they're obviously not Big Ten schools. You know, I think it's part of it is, you know, there's five or six schools right now that pretty much dominate the recruiting trail and that get, you know, their fair share, a lot of share of the five-star type kids. And the Big Ten, there's no program right now in the Big Ten that's, you know, recruiting at that level. I mean, Purdue's had a ton of success, but they're not a destination for McDonald's All-American types of kids. Same thing with Michigan. I mean, they've won a ton of games, but if you can believe this, John Beilein's never gotten a McDonald's All-American at Michigan, if you can believe that. Michigan State, they do a really good job, too, of recruiting guys and developing them. They've had their share of McDonald's All-Americans, but, you know they've, for every, you know, Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson, you know, they also have some three- and four-star type of kids. And I think a lot of it is just due to the fact that, you know, you have those four or five schools that I mentioned getting the majority of the McDonald's All-Americans year in and year out. And until a Big Ten program or two can consistently win, you know, at a top five, top ten level year over year, I think it's going to stay the same. And the league's going to struggle to kind of get that high-end talent. I think that's really all there is to it.
Alex Bozich inside the hall, our guest, joining us to talk IU basketball as he does each Thursday. Hard to have a conversation right now about IU basketball and not talk about the future of the program from a recruiting perspective. Big decision forthcoming on Friday. Lester Quinones is set to make his decision. Played at IMG Academy in Florida this past high school season. IU's been involved with him for a while. The involvement seems, and the interest both ways, seems to have really picked up since his official visit to campus back, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago at this point. IU and Memphis, that's what he's down to when his decision comes out Friday. Any thoughts or insight on what could happen with that?
Yeah, I mean, I've not been in the camp of thinking he was coming to Indiana for a while. I mean, he's been a good kid to deal with in terms of, getting him on the phone and talking to him. And he's been fun to follow on social media because he's definitely outspoken and likes to have fun. And I've believed for a long time that he was going to end up at Memphis, and nothing has really come my way in terms of information to change my opinion. I mean, it's Indiana, only one school can win in a recruitment. And that's not to say that Indiana hasn't done a great job getting to this point, but there's no prize for a runner up in recruitment. And that's what I expect Indiana to be tomorrow with him in Memphis. And so that's kind of where I stand on it. I don't know specifically what the reason would be for him to choose that. You know, they've obviously recruited him longer. Maybe he has a better relationship with the coaching staff in Memphis. Has done a really good job giving them credit with Penny Hardaway. They've really assembled a monster recruiting class. I think I've seen some early preseason top 25s for next season. They're in the top 10 or 15. So credit to them for assembling a really good recruiting class. We'll see how it goes. It's one thing to get the talent, but in terms of being able to form it into a team that can win games at a high level is a completely different thing. But in terms of, Western, I would expect tomorrow that he's going to go with Memphis.
Alex, as you look at Lester going to Memphis, and let me play devil's advocate and say that's where he ends up,
mm-hmm.
Any idea where Indiana might be headed after that, or is it going to be a surprise down the road, either one way or the other, where they don't take anybody and go with what they've got, or some surprise name grad student or something pops up?
Yeah, it's really hard to say because you're kind of getting now down to the, I don't want to call it bottom of the barrel, but it's the options are quickly diminishing. You know, the grad transfer market, we've talked about this before. I mean, it can be a good thing, but as we saw, there's no guarantee that it works out. You know, with a guy like Evan Fitz or Indiana thought they had a guy who could really help them on the perimeter with shooting, and he comes in and things don't work out the way that he wanted, obviously, or IU. So, I mean, I would expect them to keep looking, but I just don't get the feeling that this coaching staff, unlike with Crean, it always felt like they wanted to fill every scholarship and they were going to make sure that if they had an opening, they were going to fill it. I just don't see this coaching staff having the same philosophy in terms of just filling a spot just to take somebody. I mean, I think it would make sense to take a grad transfer or even a sit-out transfer if it's somebody you think that can actually make an impact on the court. But just taking somebody for the sake of it, I don't see them doing that. So there's obviously still a ton of transfers out there. It's really become, from my perspective as somebody that covers this, it's kind of overwhelming to track all of it. I've been keeping the spreadsheet of all the Big Ten teams and posting periodic updates of who's coming and going. And, I've been trying to look at it every couple of weeks. And every time I do, it's, there's three or four different names that have popped up in terms of leaving Big Ten teams and the transfers. So it's a challenge for the coaching staff, I would say, to keep track of all the moving parts. But, I don't, off the top of my head, I don't really have any idea of where they would turn next. Obviously, Trendon Watford was a name that a lot of people talked about. He never even visited. So I don't think that's happening. And then obviously the kid tomorrow would likely go into Memphis. We'll have to see what happens. But I think at some point you probably just have to ride with what you have unless you're going to be able to get somebody you think can help the team, because I don't think taking somebody just for the sake of it helps anybody, and you don't want to bring in a kid in a situation and ask them to do more than they're capable of that looks bad on the staff and it looks bad on the kids.
Alex Bozich inside the hall with us covering a lot of ground related to IU basketball today. Alex, as always, thanks for the time on this Thursday, and we will talk with you again next week.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good day.
You too.
Going to be fun to follow next week. Romeo and the Combine. Doesn't sound like Alex, and he's got a pretty good pulse on things, believes that he'll be on the court, which is okay. That's the fun stuff that the fans like to see in those games. A lot of those are on ESPN2 as they talk about the prospects. They've got the game going in the background, but definitely will be interesting next week. I think it's kind of the first week where there really will be some excitement and some movement about Romeo's future, you know, since the end of the season and Indiana didn't get in the tournament and he had a back injury and did not play in the NIT games. You know, it's kind of quieted down outside of a couple things that have popped up here or there. There have been no real major stories or breaks, I guess, other than the hand injury that was kind of made official that there was, you know, obviously an issue there during the season. But maybe this next week, 2 weeks, it'll start to heat up as far as his NBA prospectus goes, and we'll see what happens. But going to be fun to follow that next week in Chicago.
Do you get a feeling, and you talk to far more IU fans and have much more insight than I do, as I mention every week, and it's the absolute truth. But do you get a feeling that Indiana fans just aren't really excited about what's happened with the recruiting and so on and looking forward to the 19-20 season?
I think people are excited with Trace Jackson Davis, and there's a lot of reason to be excited about Trace Jackson Davis and Armand Franklin because of the strong close that he had to his high school season. But I guess if you compare it to last year, there are a couple things different. Number one, Romeo was, what do we call him, a once-in-a-generation, a once-in-a-lifetime-like player, and that recruitment was just unbelievable how it unfolded and how it ended and everything like that. So that's one thing. Nothing, I think, will ever compare to that. So there might be just some lack of excitement because of that. But also, Trace has been committed and signed for a long time now. Armand Franklin, the same thing. Keep in mind, Romeo, at this time a year ago, a week and a half ago, made his decision. So, you know, Joey Brunk, I don't know that that moved the needle with some fans. I think some people were excited to get a big, and some people were excited to see an in-state kid that went to Butler stay and go to IU as a graduate transfer. But let's be honest, his stats at Butler, his minutes at Butler, don't just have you thrilled right. That, oh my, he's going to come in and be a game changer. I think how you've got to look at that realistically is that, oh, the depth in the front court becomes a lot better for Indiana, and him in a rotation with some others, that could make a difference. But him alone, I don't think you're like jumping up and down about. So that could be it as well. But I don't think there's any question that that 2020 could be an interesting class and maybe see some of that excitement return. Not that there's a Romeo or maybe even a Trace Jackson Davis in-state in that class, but there's just a number of players in Indiana and in the Midwest that Indiana seems to be very involved and very interested in. So that's going to be fun to see what happens there. We'll head to a commercial break. Sharon Wilkerson is joining us next. He is a former IU player, former Jeffersonville star, and he just last night was named the coach at Madison High School in Indiana, a member of the Hoosier Hills Conference. He's going to join us next to talk about all of those things and more. Stay with us. It's a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report right here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this and for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. Lee Kelly always in studio with me on Thursdays. And Really excited about our guest in this segment, former IU player, former Jeffersonville standout. Now he's Coach Wilkerson. Sherron Wilkerson is our guest. And, Coach, it's always great to catch up with you. And I've been meaning to have you on just to kind of talk some IU and Southern Indiana basketball memories. And last night when the school board up at Madison Consolidated made the great choice to hire you as their next boys basketball coach, Lee and I thought, what a great time to go ahead and have you on today right now. First off, congrats on the job. I know you got to be excited about taking over a program in the Hoosier Hills Conference, which is a conference, obviously, that you are very, very familiar with, both as a player and as an assistant coach.
First, Matt, thank you so much. It's always an honor to talk to you, my friend. As you know, we go way back.
Yes.
Very blessed. Perfect timing. Definitely would like to take this opportunity to thank Dr. Studebaker, Principal Gassaway, and the athletic director, Mr. Bonkella. Wonderful people here in Madison. Rich tradition from an athletic standpoint. And obviously, as you know, being in the HHC, it's one of the best conferences in the state of Indiana. So I'm very humbled, obviously very, very excited, and ready to get to work, ready to put our best foot forward and represent the southern part of Indiana and the community of Madison and get our kids ready to win some basketball games.
You know, Sherron, when we think back to some of the great teams in our local area, New Albany, Jeff, Floyd Central, and the Hoosier Hills Conference over the years, including the years that you played, I mean, Madison was a real factor. They had some really, really good players, some really, really good talent, and were able to be very, very successful in the conference. It's a program right now that, at least in the conference, they need a little love, a little care, and some great coaching, and I know that you're primed to give the program from top to bottom all of that. What type of challenge do you see with the Madison program as it stands right now as you take over as head coach?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge for the current group of guys is to believe that you belong, know that you've put in the work, know that you've put in the time, and you can compete. Now, in saying that, you're in a conference with Bedford North Lawrence and Floyd Central and New Albany and Jeffersonville and Seymour. I mean, these are wonderful, wonderful programs, historic programs. So for me, it's an opportunity to gauge where we are from a developmental standpoint, to gauge where we are from a talent standpoint. And, you know, the fortunate thing about being at the high school level, yes, conference is always of the utmost importance. But if we were in college, it would be absolutely critical because that determines where you fall in the NCAA tournament. The way I look at it here, we're going to use this HHC conference to prepare us for our sectional, regional, semi-state, and hopefully state bids. That's our goal. Obviously, we would love the bragging rights to be able to say that we won the HHC. But more specifically and more importantly, we want to prepare ourselves for that tournament. And I think being in the HHC will definitely do that.
Sherron, I go back to the mid-60s watching basketball when Bud Ritter had his team playing in polka dot uniforms. And the Humes family and the Bullingtons came through, and they were very successful. So there is a history of really solid and good basketball at that Madison school. And so your job is to get them back to there. That area is very, very hungry for a winning program. And the biggest obstacle I see is that, man, there are three good programs right in your immediate area in Shaw, in Southwestern, and Madison, all competing for a lot of good kids.
That is the best part about being here in Jefferson County. You have programs that, number one, they care a tremendous amount about their student-athletes. The second thing that I have noticed since coming to Madison for the last 12 years, the community as a whole really supports one another. And that is so critical to success. There's no divisiveness. It's a family atmosphere. And even the three schools that you mentioned, though they compete against each other, they still support one another. And I think that that's one of the things that really brings the community together as a whole. And if everybody in the community can get behind each other and get behind the student athletes, That in itself is an equation for success.
Sherrod Wilkerson is our guest, former IU player, former Jeffersonville standout, just named Madison head coach. And I want to get to some other stuff, Coach Wilkerson, but I probably should go back and say this. You mentioned that I think you've been going to Madison now for 12 years. It's kind of a great match because while people may not associate you with the city of Madison or that part of the state here in southern Indiana specifically, you've worked there in that community for a number of years. So you've had the opportunity to get to know families, to get to know kids. You were at Shaw last year as the head coach. And so this is a community that while you may not be a resident of there, you are very, very familiar with what's going on there, with the school, with the basketball program, et cetera.
Matt, that's a great point. Yeah, I have been coming here for 12 years. I travel back and forth from Louisville. I work at a place called Vehicle Service Group. I'm the environmental manager there. And throughout that process and me coming here every day, I have developed some very, very good relationships with families of the student athletes that I work with. Hearing some of the challenges that they face, it's very inspiring. And it just puts me in a position where I want to be able to share the experience and the knowledge that I've learned as a player and a coach in hopes to allow those kids and their families to pursue their personal goals. And that's what it's all about. And it's I am an outsider here at Madison per se, but I'm really part of the family. It's truly been amazing the way that they have embraced me. Not only as a professional, but also as a basketball coach, life coach, and mentor. It's been absolutely amazing. And again, it's inspiration and motivation to make sure that you're putting your best foot forward to help develop the student athletes that want to go to the next level and play. So that's what it's all about. And for me, Mr. Dennison, I am in the right place to make that happen.
Sherrod Wilkerson joining me. Coach, you were at Indiana 1993 through 1996. I know that in recent years you've had the opportunity to catch back up with Coach Knight, and you've always had a strong relationship with Pat Knight. In fact, you were his assistant for a couple seasons down in Texas at Lamar. As you find yourself roaming the sidelines as a coach now, staying very involved with the game of basketball, how often do you catch yourself doing something or thinking back to your playing days? You played for a number of great coaches, I should say, along the way, from Coach Broughton in high school to Coach Knight in college, and lots of professional opportunities overseas specifically. But how often do you find yourself maybe smiling or grinning, thinking, that's something Coach Knight used to say, or I learned that from the general along the way?
Every day. Every single day. You know, I was very blessed as a player. You know, it's one thing to be a basketball coach, but it is another to be a life coach. And if you really listen, you mentioned Coach Broughton and you mentioned Coach Knight. And for me, when you hear those guys talk, Coach Broughton typically talks about the kids that he placed into college. Coach Knight typically talks about the kids he graduated from college. And I think preparing student athletes for those two scenarios, the wins are a byproduct of you preparing your student athletes for where they're going. And I was very fortunate to have two life coaches that really genuinely cared about their players as people first, students second, and athletes third. And honestly, Matt, I have carried everything that I have learned from those guys over into my personal, my professional, and my coaching life, and it has been a huge benefit to me personally.
Sherrod, one of the interesting things when I look back and think back about your coaching career thus far, you have coached a wide variety of situations, both the type of basketball, the style of basketball played, the level of basketball. You got your start with AAU and travel teams, taking kids from the area that really couldn't compete often at the beginning of the season with some of the best out in the state or the area. By the end, and by going through your practices and working with you individually as well, they were pretty good. And then you went into high school basketball at Indianapolis as an assistant coach. And then you came to Jeffersonville, and I'm skipping around here a bit, but you came to Jeffersonville, your old stomping grounds, as an assistant coach. And then you've been at Small Shaw Memorial, a 1A program, and now you're at Madison, a middle-of-the-road size school. You've kind of been in a lot of different situations in a lot of different places, but yet you've been able to adapt and have a style of play that makes sense for the location, for the team, and for the type of players and athletes that you have going through the program at that time. I think that that says a lot about your abilities, and maybe speak on that a little bit.
You know, it's ironic that you say that, Matt, because since I've been named the coach at Madison, I have had so many former players that I've coached reach out to me. And it just really, it gave me cold chills. I mean, to know that you coached a kid 10 years ago and the kid still remembers the impact that you had 10 years later and takes the time out of their day just to acknowledge a personal accomplishment, it speaks a lot about the relationship that you form with student athletes. And that is the reason that I have this great passion to coach basketball. It just so happens that basketball is a sport, true enough, but that sport allows me to instantly be able to connect with student athletes. And typically because of my past experiences, I've been truly blessed. Typically because of my past experiences and the things that I share, it immediately forms a bond with kids that I work with and coach with. And from that point, typically it carries over into the real game, and that's life. So I've truly been blessed. Now, I don't get to flaunt 500 wins per se, if you will, but the thing that is most important to me is situations like now where guys that you've worked with still remember you and care enough about you to reach out and congratulate you. So it's been a wonderful 24 hours, Matt.
Absolutely. Sharon Wilkerson, our guest. Coach, congratulations on the Madison job. We look forward to catching up with you from time to time. We'll catch up on your program, but it's always great to get your perspective on basketball and, of course, some of your great memories and experiences you've been through. So let's make this something a little more regular than what it's been. Let's catch up again very soon.
Always enjoy talking to you guys. Go Hoosiers, go Madison Cubs. I greatly appreciate you, Matt.
Absolutely. Sharon Wilkerson with us here on a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. That's going to wrap things up. I will be back with you tomorrow for a Friday edition of the program at 11 o'clock right here on the Big X Sports Radio.